As I said a while ago, I want to wish all of our mothers a very happy Mother's Day. Honestly, instead of Mother's Day, we really should be having like Mother's Week or Mother's Month for all the things that you have done for us, for your children throughout our lives. You know, it's there's no way that we could ever repay our mothers for the things that they have done for us. And thankfully, good mothers don't ask for us to repay them. Their love, the love of their children, is the payment that they cherish so much. And if their children are faithful to God, that is the best payment or reward that a parent could ask, mother or father. So this morning, as we consider our mothers, and we take just a few minutes to consider what they've done for us and to celebrate them, again, as I mentioned in the announcements, as a blessing of God. They are a blessing to us, to our children, and our children, as we'll look at, are a blessing to them as well, so that they can be mothers. But as we view them this morning, I want us to consider our mothers in the big picture. Let's stop and not just say, yes, it's a mother, but let's consider what's the purpose of a mother? Why do they have the role that they do as mothers? But then also, today I want us to consider, what are we doing in order to acknowledge them as they fulfill this most noble role that they have as mothers? That's what this day is about, and it's not something that we should just do in May. It's something that we should do. We should acknowledge our mothers and praise them for the things that they do. As Aiden was just reading there in Proverbs 31, what they do is so much more valuable than other things that we put more value on, and that's very backwards for us to do that. There's just some, again, a simple lesson here just to remind us about our mothers and what they do and acknowledging them for that. There's a few things that I want us to remember and remind ourselves, both us as non-mothers, but also those that are mothers, reminding us what motherhood is. And the first thing that I want us to remember is that being a mother is a blessing. Being a mother is a gift from God. One of the reasons that we honor our mothers at this time is because God created them and entrusted them with one of the most admirable and respectful positions known to man. It is a very important thing. I could never be a mother for obvious reasons, but there's some traits and things that God created the mother to be able to do in order to fulfill the role that she has. And when mothers don't fulfill that role, they're going against nature, and it's an odd thing for a mother to not do the things that a mother should do. There's something wrong whenever mothers don't do these things. And so when mothers are acting the way that God intended them to do and they're fulfilling that role, it is a very wonderful thing that they do. Back in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 22, we see God creating Eve, who would become the first mother. And we see there in verse 22, "And the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man, and brought her to the man." And then back in chapter 1, as God, the Godhead, created woman, or created man in their image, as it says there. In verse 28, it says, "And God blessed them." And I'll be honest with you, when I read that, a lot of times I skip that part and I just go to, "And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." But I think it's important that we look at the beginning of that verse. "And God blessed them." He blessed them to become parents. He blessed them with the ability to become parents. And so we see in chapter 4 and verse 1, we're going to look at that here in a little bit and actually read that passage. But it says there that that they were to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Again, as we just saw there also in Genesis 1:28. In Psalm 127, he makes a wonderful statement, which we usually think about in regards to children. But that same statement also applies to motherhood. It's a wonderful statement. There in verse 3 of Psalm 127, he says, "Behold, children are a gift or a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." But unfortunately, a lot of people today don't view children as a gift, as a reward, or as a blessing. Instead, they view children as a problem and a burden. And that's why we have such a problem with the abortion rate is on the rise. And the amount of child abuse cases are skyrocketing, especially in the situation we're in right now, because parents focus on what their kids aren't doing instead of realizing, you know what, you are a blessing. God blessed you with this. You are a reward to me. You are something that has been entrusted to me, which we'll look at here in just a second. And so therefore, if I view you that way, that God has given you to me and me to you, then we're going to respond different. I know whenever I lose my temper with my kids, and all that, it's those moments whenever you forget, you know, God gave me you. God gave you to me. And again, we're talking about mothers here, but it's very difficult to separate mothers and fathers because we're to work together with these things. But again, we're focusing on what the mothers do, and there's so many things that they can do better than fathers. But again, we need to realize and change our way of thinking, but also try to help others see that being a mother, being a parent is a gift, a reward, a blessing. We also see, in addition to that being a mother is a privilege, and it's a stewardship that has been entrusted to certain women that's not enjoyed by everyone. Again, God has specifically entrusted women with the privilege and the godly responsibility of being mothers. He specifically made them and designed them with the ability to conceive and bear children, and also to nurture and to raise them. Again, certainly, as you see there on the screen, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, it reminds us specifically that fathers have their role in that as well. Again, as fathers are told that raise their children in the discipline and instruction, or the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so the fathers have a black and white right there in front of you responsibility to raise our children. But we understand there's also things that mothers are to do as being parents in that. Specifically the men mentioned here to do these things, but there are certain maternal abilities, I guess you could say, where the mothers far outshine the fathers. Things that a mother can do. There's reasons that kids run to their mothers in certain situations, and then children run to their father in different situations, because we each have a role, and mothers can do some great things in certain ways. Each of them can interchange in that as well. But I think you understand what I'm saying there, as far as there are certain qualities of a mother that a father just doesn't possess. As I mentioned a second ago, you know, being a mother is a privilege that is not possible for every woman. For whatever reason, be it the husband or the wife or them together, whatever, no fault of anyone on their own, but it's just not possible for some couples to conceive and have children and become natural parents. But as this congregation knows very well, adoption has been made available and has allowed many who otherwise were not able to have their own natural children to be able to adopt and to become mothers. And again, that in of itself is a blessing from God, that you're able to adopt this child. That's just as much a blessing as these children are whose parents, their natural parents, are not able to keep them for whatever reason. Those children are a blessing. And too many times, those children that are in those situations, they're not treated that way. They don't feel that they are a blessing. But those children, again, everyone who has been affected by that, and our congregation has been affected by that, we know what a blessing that all children are. And maybe their situation did not start out initially in the way that they would have liked it to, but man, to be able to be a family, whether it's by natural or a adoption or whatever, what a blessing it is to have a child and for a child to have a parent. That's just a blessing in of itself. We need to always acknowledge that for what it is and acknowledge both parties for what they are to one another. Back in Genesis chapter 4, as we talked about there a while ago, Eve understood very well God's part in her becoming a mother. There in verse 1 it says, "Now the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain, and she said to him, 'I have gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord,'" or as the New King James says, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Obviously, man was involved in the process of this, but Eve is readily acknowledging without God involved in this, this child would not happen. And I think if more people would realize that, like I said at the beginning, our child abuse cases would go down, but also specifically in the conception and God making that available, if we all grasp that a little bit better, the abortion rates would drop. But again, when we don't trust in God, we don't turn to God, we don't consider children as a blessing from God, and that God is the one that has allowed this to happen. And so I think that's one of the problems that we have. As you look at John chapter 16, we see here that Jesus describes an amazing thing that happens to a woman after she has given birth to her child. I want to look at that. John 16 and verse 21, he says, whenever a woman is in travail or in labor, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she remembers the anguish no more for joy that a child has been born into the world. You know, I can't imagine going through the process of giving birth. I have witnessed it several times. I have seen Michelle as she has gone through that painful process. I've seen all of the work that it took for her to give birth. It's, again, I'm glad I was there. But I was also thankful that I didn't have to do that. Again, you think about Adam and Eve again and why that there's pain in childbirth and so forth. But again, as Jesus said there in John 16, when that baby finally arrived, Michelle wasn't thinking about the pain that she had to endure. She didn't have to think about all the hours that went into becoming a mother. At that time, the pain and the struggle was replaced with joy. And it is a wonderful thing. Again, you think about it, whenever a child is new, they can do no wrong. We just, you know, as a parent, you think, well, my child is never going to go off and do these things. They're never going to be bad and whatnot. And we live in some kind of a fantasy land in that. But I think there is something to remember about our children, that they are children. And I know with my own children, sometimes you think, well, you should know this by now. You should be more mature and you should do things like that. And certainly there are situations where that is the case. But we also need to remember our children are still children. And we need to train them and we need to encourage them and grow with them through the process. I think we forget that. I know I do sometimes. But we need to remember the joy that came whenever our children first got into this world. But again, along with that joy that God gives us whenever a child comes into the earth, into the world, we also see that mothers are also given at that moment a new purpose. A purpose of not just being a wife, not just doing whatever she was at that time up to then, but she also has a purpose here to raise a child and to be that mother. Again, contrary to many of the views that are taught in the world, marriage, motherhood, being a wife, those are not slap in the faces to women. Those are honorable, extremely honorable things that a woman gets to be a wife, to be a mother. Those are honorable positions. They're not something that makes them less. And I get so frustrated with the world whenever they try to downplay a mother and a wife. It's so backwards. In fact, if you look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, we see that Paul actually says that fulfilling your role as a wife and a mother is going to help protect you from Satan. And it's interesting to think about it in that way. But there in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 14, he says, therefore, I want younger widows to get married, to bear children, to keep the house, and to give the enemy no occasion for reproach. For some have already turned aside to follow Satan. And so you see, if you're doing your job fulfilling your role, whatever, as a woman, as a wife and a mother, that's an honorable job, and all the mothers know how much work it is to do those things. Honorable work to do that. We could look at Proverbs 31. We're not going to take the time this morning to read all of that. Most of the time, whenever we think about Proverbs 31, we think about the virtuous wife. It's better the virtuous woman. It does start off with who can find a virtuous wife there, but I believe it uses the word wife. But if you look, there are many of those verses on there. He's talking about the virtuous mother and how she does things for her family and for her children. And the results of that, right there before what Aiden read, about how the father and the children, they all they bless her and they praise her for the things that she does as that mother. But just as a child or children bring a blessing of motherhood to the woman, a godly wife and mother, she brings great honor on herself because of the things that she does, but she also brings great blessings on her father or her husband and her children as well. Her whole family is blessed because of her, and the things that she does brings honor to her as well. I hope that all of you women that are listening to this, again, I can't stress this enough, I hope you never buy into the foolishness and the error that so many teach today, that being a wife and a mother makes you somehow less as a woman. That is such a disservice and a slap in the face to what God established for the woman. Don't buy into that. Don't give into that foolishness and error, as I said there. In fact, that kind of teaching is nothing more than Satan trying to grab a hold of you and keep you from fulfilling God's honorable role for you. So don't buy that. Never underestimate yourself and the honor and value of being a wife and mother. But to the others here, to the husbands and to the children, I want you to listen to this. May we always strive to do a better job, and every one of us can, to be a better husband, to be a better child, but to give our wives and our mothers the honor that is due to them. Make them feel their true value for the things that they do as they fulfill that noble role that God has blessed them with. Again, that's what we all need to be considering this morning is, if God established this and God put women in a certain role, that means we need to honor them whenever they do that. And so that's one of the reasons I think we have Mother's Day. But like I said, it doesn't just happen in May, or shouldn't just happen in May. I can do a lot better with that, and I'm sure you can as well. We need honorable mothers. I want to spend the rest of our time this morning just quickly looking at five examples of godly mothers. And there's some different lessons that we can learn from these mothers. And I kind of try to think of a different kind of thing than we typically listen to with some of these points. Obviously, some of them are going to be pretty straightforward from what we can learn from them. But the first one is Eve, as we just talked about there in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1. There's so many examples that I could have picked out of here. We're really blessed that the Bible has so many examples of godly women that we can look at and be encouraged by. But again, just real quickly, we can look at some lessons here. Again, back to Eve in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1. We're told there that she recognized that her child was a blessing from God. And again, that's something that every mother and father should always remind ourselves of, especially when our little gifts from God are grating on our last nerve. Yes, you are, in fact, a blessing, and I need to step back and realize that. You have been entrusted to me, and I need to treat you that way. It's hard. It's very hard at times. But remember that our children are a blessing of God. Acknowledge that they are from God. Then there's Sarah in Genesis chapter 21. Sarah was one of several women that we read about in the Bible who was unable for a very long time to have any children, to become a mother. And it wasn't until she was much older, as we know the story, that God blessed her with a child just as he had promised he would do. Beginning in Genesis chapter 21 and verse 1, it says, "Then the Lord took note of Sarah, and as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him." Then you skip down to verse 5. It also says, "Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh at me. And she said, who will have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse a child? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. And so you see that Sarah does, just like Eve, she acknowledges that God is the reason that she has a child. But I don't want us to focus on that. Again, we're trying to learn lessons from here that we usually don't talk about here on Mother's Day with when we think about stories about people. I want us to look at something else, though, with here. As you look in the verses that follow that and finishing up chapter 21, we see that even though she did acknowledge that God was the reason that she had a child and he's the one that made her a mother even in her old age, we can also learn from her something that we shouldn't do. Be it mothers or fathers or anyone, even after God had blessed her in this way, in this amazing way, which she had struggled with for so long, when she had that child, she still allowed her jealousy and her pride to cause her to seek revenge on Ishmael and on Hagar. Remember, she sent them away from them. And she was very upset and said, Ishmael is not going to be receiving the blessing like my son is. And she could not just be content with her blessings. She had to make sure that she eliminated the opposition, I guess you could say, the other side of that. And again, there's a history between Hagar and Sarah, and we understand that. But my point that I want us to get from this is that Sarah reminds us no mother is perfect. It's good for us to remember that all mothers make mistakes, just as all fathers do and all children do. We're humans. Again, Romans 3:23 tells us that we all sin, we all fall short. Mothers make mistakes, and we need to remember that it doesn't do anyone any good to tear down a mother who has failed at something or because she has done something with her children different than what you would have done it. It doesn't do anyone good. All it does is make the mother feel less secure and more stressed out. And there's ways of encouraging people, but a lot of times it's, well, you messed up, and so you're going to hear about it, and that doesn't help anyone. We all make mistakes. But the thing that we need to remember, as a general rule, I believe that all mothers, for the most part, are doing the best that they can. It's not going to be perfect. And I haven't found a parent yet who is in their latter years who has said, I would have raised my children the exact same way that I did before. There's always something that they would have done different. And they can see, you know, if I'd done this, it may have turned out a little bit better. Or I could have helped them out along the way. If I had done this more, maybe be less controlling or maybe more in control than I was or whatever the thing may be. A better example or whatever. But when we see a mother who is doing her best, and we just need to assume that she is, tearing them down or whatever is not going to do anyone good. It's not going to do us any good. It's not going to do them any good. We need to be encouraging when we see mothers who are striving to do the best that they can. Maybe they need you to step up and say, hey, I'll help you. But we need to respect them if they want to handle it themselves. And again, there's a whole class we could look at with just those kinds of situations. But be considerate. Be encouragers instead of those that will be the first to point out your problems. We can help, and we need to do that because, again, this is a role that God has given for the mother, and we need to encourage them with that. We can also look at Jochebed. Again, obviously, she is the mother of Moses that we read about here in Exodus chapter 2. She's the one that reminds us that a godly mother is going to do anything she can to save her child. Here in Exodus chapter 2, we read about how she conceived and bore Moses, but also because how Pharaoh had made the decree there that all of the young boys were to be killed, we see that she had to hide and protect her son. And so there eventually, whenever she couldn't hide her son, rather, anymore, he got a little bigger. In verse 3, it tells us that she prepared an ark for him and placed him among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. And we know the story of that and how she physically saved his life because she did this, because she was proactive in trying to save him. Again, this is a physical salvation, but in turn, God was able to turn around and use Moses to help free his people from Exodus and from Egypt and the Exodus and all that. And so that is a great thing for us. But as we consider this situation on a spiritual level, we also need to remember that godly mothers are going to do whatever they can to save their children spiritually. Again, physical salvation is a great thing for Moses, but even more so, spiritual salvation should be the desire of every parent. Again, as we look at mothers here, doing everything we can in order to save them. No, we're not always going to be able to save our children. Unfortunately, we know that all too well. They have their free will. They can choose to do their own thing, but that doesn't mean that we give up. Godly parents, and that's mothers and fathers, and fellow siblings would apply in this as well. You do everything you can in order to try to save that child and bring them back to the lost, to try to keep them where they're not lost. That's what we want to do. And that's exactly what we see Jochebed doing. Never give up on your children if you truly care for their souls. And again, that's what we see in godly mothers. We also can see Hannah. Hannah's one of those mothers that I think everybody adores. I just kind of smile when I think about Hannah. She had such a rough beginning. She was a lot like Sarah. She couldn't have children for so long, almost wasn't a mother. But in her time of trouble and sadness and her worry and, again, all the things that she endured, her situation is very much like Sarah. She had the opposition, and she was teased and picked on and all that because she was not able to have a child. But again, in that time, when she was emotionally and physically struggling, what did she do? She turned to God for help. And in 1 Samuel chapter 1, we see that when she prayed to God and she asked him for a son, she didn't do it just for her own personal benefit. You remember what she said to God whenever she prayed to him? Again, she wanted to glorify him if he would bless her. And so in verse 26, after all this had happened, she turns to Eli the priest. Again, he's kind of looking funny at her at this situation, as he did several times. But she says to him in verse 26, "Oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. For this boy or this child I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition which I asked him." Notice verse 28. "So, or therefore, I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. Again, Hannah is a wonderful example of a godly woman as well as a godly mother. She had humility through all of these things. She had grace in the things that she did. She had faith in God through all these situations. And she's such a wonderful example to us. But she reminds us that we are to use all of God's blessings, and that includes our children, in a way that will bring glory to God. God blessed her, and she turned around and said yes. Or from the beginning, even before she even conceived a child, "This child is going to glorify you, and I'm going to do everything I can to make him a sacrifice, if you will, to God, and he will serve you all the days of his life." What a wonderful example that Hannah is. But also, one more example I want us to look at and consider is that one of Eunice. And I can't separate Lois from Eunice. I'm sorry. One is a mother of Timothy. One is a mother of Eunice. So they're both mothers in here. We know so little about these two, but what we do know about them speaks volumes for who they are. Again, when I think about godly mothers, these two are some of the first ones that I think about, Lois and Eunice, because, like I said, that's all we know about them and all this. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul writes to Timothy about these two women who are very close to him. And he says there, beginning verse 3, I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. Notice verse 5, for I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. Again, what we know about them, we also know that Timothy had a father who was a Greek, and therefore he was not concerned about these things of God and becoming a Christian. He was not concerned about establishing a faith in the one true and living God, but we have two ladies who were. And again, you may consider that that Eunice was spiritually a single mother. Being a single mother, I'm not one, obviously, but it's a struggle. I've seen enough of them in my lifetime to know that it is extremely difficult, regardless of how you became a single mother, to try to raise your children as it is. But then to make sure that they are being raised to love God and to obey Him and establishing that faith, which Paul talks about there, which is exactly what Lois and Eunice did. There was no father there to do that, but despite the situation, she didn't allow that to keep her from instilling a faith for God in her young son, Timothy. You know, sometimes we allow our situation, again, as we've talked so many times in the last couple months here, to only let us see what we can't do. And we end up giving up on what's most important because we lose our sight and our perspective goes away. But we should be pressing on for what really matters. And that's exactly what Lois and Eunice did. They did not let these things keep them from fulfilling that need, the greatest need there in raising their son to have faith in God. They could have easily said, well, father's a deadbeat and I can't do it. But that's not what we see them doing. Again, all these mothers that we've talked about there and others that we didn't get to talk about this morning, they're examples of godly mothers, and their value can be seen in their children. And again, I can look at every single one of those people and see what their children did or what that lineage ended up doing. None of these, again, we remind them, are perfect parents. You look at Eve right there at the top of the list. Man, one of her sons killed the other son. You know, it's not going to be perfect. And, you know, that's the first generation away from the created man that is involved in that kind of stuff. Every one of those. Sarah had her issues. We can't read about specific issues in all of those. Some of those, we only see great things from them, but we know that they were not perfect in the things that they did. But I want us to sum up kind of what I get from all of these godly mothers. A godly mother is going to recognize that children are gifts from God. A godly mother isn't perfect. She's going to have her problems. She's going to fail as a mother and as a wife at times, just as fathers fail as fathers and husbands and just men in general. Children, we all fail. We're not perfect, and so we need to remember that with our mothers as well. Godly mothers are going to do anything they can in order to save their children. No, it may not ultimately end in that child being saved. But if we're doing everything that we can, that is what is asked of us. Again, I'm reminded that Jesus was here walking on earth, the Son of God in the flesh, and He was not able to convince everyone, even with miracles and all the things that He did, that they should turn to God. And so we need to consider that as well, but we need to do everything that we can to that. Godly mothers also purpose all of their blessings as God's blessings. They recognize them for what they were, just as Hannah did. And that includes our children. We're going to do everything we can in order to glorify God with every blessing that He gives us. But also, godly mothers don't let their situation keep them from instilling a faith in God, or a faith in God in their children. Those are just some of the things from those five examples that we can see. And so hopefully that's something that we see in our wives, in our mothers. If you're a mother yourself, I hope that you see those things in yourself, or maybe you can improve on those things from day to day. Again, godly mothers are a true blessing, and they're definitely someone for whom we should be extremely grateful for and thankful for. Maybe that's your actual mother. But maybe it's not your actual physical, natural mother. Maybe someone else has stepped up in your life to be a mother to you. And there's nothing wrong with that. I am who I am today because of many women. I'm the father I am because of my wife. I'm the father I am because of my physical mother. I'm the father I am because of my mother-in-law and the way that she has helped me. There's so many women that have helped me to be who I am. And we need to be so thankful for godly mothers who fill that role. Again, sometimes that our natural mother is not the mother that we have, but our adopted mother is that mother. That doesn't change anything. That's a title that needs to just be dropped. You're a mother because you have stepped up into that role, and we need to be thankful for that. But regardless, if you're still able to see your mother, talk to your mother, we need to make sure that you're telling them how much you appreciate them for the things that they do, for all the time and the energy that they've sacrificed, and that's exactly what it is, in order to help you be who you are today. So let's make sure that we are doing those things as well. This morning, if you're a mother and you love your children and you're doing everything you can to make sure that your children have every opportunity and every reminder possible to obey God and to know who God is, first of all, thank you. I will thank you personally because of that, but hopefully your own children will thank you because you're being who God wants you to be. You're fulfilling the role, the responsibility, the privilege, the blessing that God has given before you. And I thank you for that. But number two, I say please keep doing what you're doing because we need godly women today. If you will bow with me, let's bring our lesson to a close with a word of prayer. Our God and our Father, we are so humbled and thankful that we can come to you at this time. We can take a few minutes this morning to look at some godly women in your word, that we can see how you established and created women to fulfill this honorable and noble role in this life. We thank you for those godly mothers that we can see around us, those who have helped us turn to you and to become your children because we were their children. We thank you so much for this this role that's been established, and we pray that you will be with those mothers as they continue to strive to serve you in every way that they can. But for us that are not mothers, help us to do what we can to encourage them and to help them to see their worth and their value, and to be so thankful for all the things that they do. As we see them fulfilling that role that you have given to them. We are so blessed in so many different ways. We're thankful that we can come to you this morning in this service. We pray that you are glorified above everything as we go through this service. Please help us to take this day to reflect on the blessings of our mothers that we have. Pray that you'll be with us as we continue on into this, as we remember your son and his sacrifice. We pray these things through his name. Amen. Again, I appreciate your attention this morning. I hope this has been an encouraging lesson for you as we go through this day and we remember our mothers. Again, as always, the Lord's invitation is open to anyone who is subject to it. Again, we're talking about mothers this morning. I think about Philip and the eunuch. He's not a mother by any means, but just like mothers, when Philip came upon the eunuch and he saw that he did not understand what he was reading, he didn't understand what he needed to do in order to be obedient to God, he did just like a godly mother would do. We talked about this last week. He taught Christ to him. He taught him about Jesus. He taught him about what he needed to do to be baptized. He taught him what it took to become a child of God. And so this morning, if you have not obeyed God, you don't have that same zeal for the Lord that this Ethiopian man had. My first question is why? Why have you not obeyed? What is keeping you from holding or from getting rid of your sin and being free from all of that, becoming a child of God with all the blessings and privileges that come with that, the promises that come with that? Maybe someone is watching this morning who's not a child of God, and they need to do what is right. Have those sins forgiven as you're obedient in baptism. But for the majority of everyone else, maybe there's something you just need encouragement about. You're struggling spiritually, or you need some encouragement, you need to get something off your chest. We would love to help you. We'd be honored to help you, but you've got to let us know so that we can help you with those problems. So if you have any of those specific needs, please let us know, and we'll get it moving on from there, and we can encourage you and continue to work with you in those kind of situations. Again, God bless you, mothers. We appreciate all that you do for us.